We drown in silence for a long moment. Corvium yawns around us, full of people, but it feels empty. Divide and conquer. The implications are clear, the lines sharply drawn. Farley and Davidson regard me with equal intensity, and I stare back at them. I suppose Cal has no idea, no inkling, that the Scarlet Guard in Montfort have absolutely no intention of letting him keep whatever throne he wins. I suppose he cares more about the crown than about whatever any Red thinks, and I suppose I shouldn't call him Cal anymore. Tiberius Calor. King Tiberius. Tiberius the Seventh. It's the name he was born with, the name he wore when I met him. Thief. He called me then. That was my name. I wish I could forget the last hour, fall backward just a little bit, falter, stumble, enjoy one more second of that strangely blissful place where the only thing I felt was the ache of tired muscles and repaired bones, the emptiness after battle's adrenaline, the certainty of his love and support, and even through the heartbreak, I can't find it in myself to hate him for his choice. The rage will come later. Concern crosses Farley's face. It seems strange on her. I'm more accustomed to cold determination or red anger from Diana Farley. She notes my stare with a twitch of her scarred mouth. I'll relay Cal's decision to the rest of command, she says, breaking the silent tension. Her words are low and measured. Just command. Ada will carry the message. The Montfort Premier ducks his chin in agreement.
Good. I think Generals Drummer and Swan may have an idea of these developments already.
They've been keeping tabs on the Lerilan Queen since she came into play. Annabelle Lerilan was in Maven's court long enough, at least a few weeks. I reply. Somehow my voice doesn't tremble. The words come out evenly, full of force. I have to look strong. Even if I don't feel it right now. It's a lie, but a good lie. She probably has more information than I ever gave you.
Probably,
Davidson says with a thoughtful bob of the head. He narrows his eyes on the ground, not searching, but focusing. A plan spirals out in front of him. The road ahead won't be easy. A child would know that.
Which is why I have to get back up there,
he adds. Almost an apology, as if I could be angry with him for doing what he must.
Ears and eyes open, yeah?
Ears and eyes open. Farley and I respond in unison, surprising each other. He steps away from us, backing out of the alleyway. The sun flashes in his glossy gray hair. He was careful to clean up after the battle, washing away the sweat and ash, replacing his blood-stained uniform with a fresh one, all to present his usual calm, collected, and strangely ordinary demeanor. A wise decision. Silvers devote so much energy to their appearance, to the false pride of visible strength and power, and none so much as the Samos King and his family in the tower above us. Next to Volo, Evangeline, Ptolemus, and the hissing Viper Queen, Davidson barely registers. He could blend into the walls if he wanted to. They won't see him coming. They won't see us coming. I take a shaky breath and swallow, forcing the next thought. And Cal won't either. Tiberius, I snap at myself. One fist clenches, digging nails into flesh with a satisfying sting. Call him Tiberius. The black walls of Corvium feel strangely silent and bare without the siege. I turn away from Davidson's retreating form to eye the parapets ringing the inner ward of the fortress city. The shiver-attacking snowstorm is long gone, the darkness lifted, and everything here seems smaller now, less imposing. Red soldiers used to be herded through this city, most on the march to inevitable death in a trench. Now Reds patrol the walls, the streets, the gates. Reds sit alongside Silver Kings and speak of war. A few soldiers with crimson scarves walk back and forth, their eyes darting, well-used guns ready in hand. The Scarlet Guard will not be caught unawares, though they have little reason to be so on edge.